In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I want to let people know that by the end of this week, the end of May, we need $6,000 to pay our bills. And you know that I do not come to you every day asking for money, but in order for us to pay the April bills, I need $6,000. So I trust that God will do it because he always has done it, in the name of Jesus. So thank you for listening about that and for responding. We're continuing to talk about Pentecost because it's all about Pentecost. We are living in the day of Pentecost. And we look at the scripture again, Acts 1, 4 and 5. And being assembled together, who were these people assembled together? They were the apostles and the 120. Being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, my Lord. Who is the promise of the Father? It is the Holy Spirit. And he said, as you have heard of me, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Oh yes, that was the promise of Jesus, that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean to Catholics? Let me tell you, we receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, and we receive the Holy Spirit at confirmation, and I receive the Holy Spirit at ordination. But you see, that Holy Spirit needs to be released. It's almost like an Alka-Seltzer round thing. This is a foolish example, but it's the only way I can explain it. So I have the power in the Alka-Seltzer, but the power is concealed until I put it in the water, and then it starts to fizzle. I'm telling you, you have the power of the Holy Spirit living within you if you were baptized and you've given your life to Jesus. And God wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in power. That's really the truth. And then the last words of Jesus in the Acts of the Apostles, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and throughout all the othermost ends of the earth." So Jesus promises power. But you know what? I want to look at the word Pentecost. The word Pentecost has the word cost in it. There is a cost when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the cost is, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. There's a cost. Little did I know that when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was going to be thrown into ministry. No one taught me this. It just happened. People would come to me and ask me to pray with them, and I would pray over them. No one taught me that as a 21-year-old young man, that I was going to be in ministry, and that there was a cost in Pentecost, that you need to be able to do what God called you to do at the moment. Then we're going to look at the upper room again, and they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. That means you can walk from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, and that's the Sabbath day's journey. You can't walk any further and any back. It's a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter, he's always first, and James and John and Andrew and Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot. I tell you, I tell you, and Judas, the brother of James, not Judas Iscariot, he has already committed suicide. So, who are these people? We remember what it says in Mark's Gospel, that he called those together whom he desired. These are the desired ones of the Lord. Do you know today that you are desired by the Lord? Do you know today that you are one of the desired ones of the Lord? That's just reality. He desires you. He desires your love. He desires your commitment. He desires that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. And the life you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave his life for you. And who else was there? These continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. So we see our Blessed Mother was in that upper room when Pentecost came. She is the only one that had experienced the Holy Spirit in the Incarnation. When the Holy Spirit came upon her, she is the only one in that room that already has experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit came upon her in bringing Jesus from heaven to earth. Now, what would have happened if the Spirit didn't come? They would have remained in Jerusalem, and ultimately, they would have died. Nothing would have happened. They would have been a little group, a splinter group, and nothing would have happened. They would be all together, and they would be talking about the things Jesus did, and that's all that they'd be doing. But on the day of Pentecost, suddenly there was a rushing mighty wind from heaven, and the house was filled with fire. Yes, fire on the heads of the apostles. I'm telling you, this is what Pentecost is all about. It's about wind, the breath of the Holy Spirit, and fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that they do is they leave the upper room and they go out, and Peter begins to preach, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah." Let's just look at the cost of Pentecost. Is it worth paying the cost? Yeah, I can't buy it, but is it worth paying that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me? It's worth it. Why? Because Jesus Christ takes residence in my soul, and I am just his for all eternity. Yes, and it's something that I have to recommit every day, that Jesus is the Lord, and he has great expectations to do in me and through me and in you and through you, because you are the desired of the Lord. When we look at the people that were in Jerusalem, they are a motley crew. We have Matthew, who was the tax collector, and Simon the Zealot, who hated tax collectors because they worked for Rome. And the Zealots would kill Romans. And I'm telling you, Matthew was less than a Roman because he was a Jew working for the Romans. So Simon the Zealot and Matthew were there. It's a motley crew. But you know what? There's nothing going on but prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. If you would ask me, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to the apostles, "Let's go back to Jerusalem, because my son said, you shall receive power in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Very interesting. Very interesting. Again, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, ministry was initiated. Peter starts ministering to the people that are there. And who are the people that are there? They are Parthians and Medes and Elamites and people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers from Rome, and Jews that were proselytes. And let me tell you the reason why all these people were there. I often wondered, why would they be there on the day of Pentecost? We remember Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. And it is Pentecost, which is the celebration of the law, L-A-W. So they were all there celebrating the L-A-W. And what did they receive that day? the L-O-R-D, the Lord, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the law was good for its time, but it couldn't make us right with God. I've often said it's either grace or the law. You cannot have both the law and grace. I'm not saying we should not keep the Ten Commandments. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we are not to keep the precepts of the Jewish religion, that it's not necessary, that we can eat pork if we desire to eat pork. I'm telling you that God has given us freedom in those areas, that we can do what He calls us to do, and that we can be what He calls us to be, and that we don't have to follow the LAW, but we do have to go on with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit opens doors. Yes, He does. I tell you, when I started this radio ministry, I had a little extra money, and I said, Lord, where do you want us to go next? I had no idea. I'm just, a kid from East Boston. I have no idea. I'm 31, 32, no, maybe 33 years old now, 34 years old, and I had extra money. Where do you want us to go? And I remember being in Nantucket, and I was there in Nantucket, and I met some beautiful people, the Fehrenbachs, and they were talking to me. I saw them reading a Christian book, and I said, you're reading a book about evangelism? And they said, yes. And they said, who are you? I said, I'm a priest from the Archdiocese of Boston. And they said, we're from St. Louis. I said, oh, that's wonderful. I said, I want to go on radio someplace else. I'm in Boston. She said, my friend runs the radio ministry. That's how we get to St. Louis. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. I couldn't do that. But I was at the right place at the right time, and our second place that we went was St. Louis. Then I collected more money. See, I did not want to keep the money that we had in the bank. Let's go and preach the word. And the next station I got was WROL. Very interestingly, many years ago, if you were on WROL, you could not be on WEZE. But because I was on WEZE, the owner wanted me for WROL. So we have been WROL for about 29 years. That's just the way God opens doors. God opens. I didn't have to open the door for God. He opened the door for me to preach the gospel and to preach the gospel. Let's look at what Jesus said. I love what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, this is in Mark's gospel. Jesus said unto them, go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that does not believe shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in entire new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink deadly things, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. So Jesus promises that with the baptism of the Spirit, that all these things are going to happen. All these things are going to happen. And we remember St. Paul when he was on the island of Malta after they were shipwrecked, that a snake bit him. And they thought that this guy was a reprobate because God caused a snake to bite him. But St. Paul kind of shished him off of his hand and put him in the fire, and he didn't die. Then they stopped thinking that Paul was a god. And you see, I'm telling you, the snake bit Paul, and he wasn't dead. Why? Because you shall handle snakes. Now, people that just handle snakes for their own thing because they want to prove the gospel, that's crazy. That's crazy. But if you're on mission and a snake bites you, it's not going to harm you. That's what it is. It's not going to harm you. It's when you're on mission and a snake bites you, it's not going to harm you. Let's continue. I want to look right now at Ezekiel 37. It's about Israel, but it's also about the church, because it's very interesting. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. So he's in a valley that is filled with bones. Now what does this mean? And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So they were dry bones, many dry bones. He had me walking up and down to see these bones, and they filled the valley. They were dry bones. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? That's a very interesting question, because they're all dead. And I answered, O Lord, you know. That was the pious answer, you know. God, you know if these bones can live. That's not the issue. Do you know, Son of man, can these bones live? Not me. I know what I'm going to do. But do you believe that these bones can live? And then it says, again he said to me, prophesy unto these bones, and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So Ezekiel had to do something. He had to open his mouth and prophesy. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. So I prophesied. So Ezekiel opens his mouth. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Get up. Get up. Get up. He starts prophesying. And the scripture said, I prophesied and as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, beholding a shaking of the bones came together, bone upon bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. There was no spirit in them. So he's got a whole lot of dead bodies jumping up and down, but there's no spirit in them. I tell you, that could be ministries that are working, and that there's no breath anymore. There's no breath of the Holy Ghost anymore. That God wants to breathe into the ministries that we have been doing so that there would be breath, so that the Holy Spirit would be in charge of what we are doing and how we are doing it. The church herself, you know, is in need of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, with that baptism of the Holy Spirit comes ministry, but one becomes attuned to the gifts of God, and one becomes attuned to what God wants to do. There is much more in the world than just going to church. We need to go to church to be empowered by the Word of God and the Eucharist, so that we can go out and pray with the sick, so that we can go out and do things for God. The Holy Spirit wants that for us. Remember, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And then it says, then he said unto me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the Spirit. Prophesy, Son of Man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of the earth, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may be alive. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You know, the church is the dry bones, and we have flesh on the dry bones, but what is needed now is a new Pentecost. We need a new Pentecost. I told you, we are living in the day of Pentecost. The church needs a new Pentecost, where the Spirit of God is able to bring the church to the nations as well as to the communities, that people find that in their church there is power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. Let's continue. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, the spirit came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And we can also say, these bones are the whole church. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off from all parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place in you your own land, and then shall you know that I am the Lord. I have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. This is about Israel too. Exactly. I'm going to bring you into your own land. God has been doing that since the birth of the nation of Israel. But the church needs this gift of the Holy Spirit more than we've ever known. In order for us to be missionaries, we need the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know, our mission is in Winthrop, our mission is in Saugus, our mission is in Brookline, our mission is beside the abortion mills. Our mission is there, and God wants us to do something in the power of the Spirit, and it takes faith to do something. Yesterday we were praying for the people outside the abortion mill, and I kind of knew that there was a save. I didn't know that someone told me, but I kind of knew there was a save. And today we pray for the people outside the abortion mill, that one other lady, or one other, two other women would change their minds and have their children. This is important. We have people standing outside Planned Parenthood offering people the love and hope and kindness of the Lord, and God wants to do something to these women because they are going in to kill their children. As I said, the devil will tell you this is the easy way out. Go in and have the abortion, and then when they come out, the devil will say, you killed your child. That's just the way it is. That's just the way the old devil works. We need to have a ministry outside that beautiful, not beautiful, pitiful Planned Parenthood. And it's all because of the baptism of the Spirit, that people have received the baptism of the Spirit and they have been missioned there. What an awful place to be missioned to, because you're standing by the gates of hell where children are being killed, where children are being sucked out of their mother's wombs. But you know what? We have people there today that are praying and that are offering an alternative to abortion, and that alternative is, we will help you. And what happened to the lady yesterday? She needed food and things, and they got their lady food and things, and someone needed to drive her home, and she lived in a faraway town in the South Shore, and there was someone that knew exactly where she lived and drove her home. You see, God put that all together. God put that all together because God wanted this baby saved and this woman saved. Because abortion is not only killing a child, but that the woman bears the guilt of it all the days of her life until she is forgiven by Jesus and until she forgives herself. This is real. This is real. I tell you, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, these people would not be out there. Without the giving of the Holy Spirit, these people would not be out there. They'd be home today in their air-conditioned homes. They would not be out there, but now they are out there, and they are out there in the heat today. But they are also out there when it's frigid, when it's cold, when it's snowing, when it's raining. They're there every Tuesday and Wednesday, my friends, are there. Every Tuesday and Wednesday. And they are doing the work of God. They know that there is a cost in Pentecost because they stand outside the gates of hell offering hope, help, and love to the women going in. Do you see what I'm saying? I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. I need to tell you that we owe $6,000 and we need to be able to pay the bills of $6,000 by the end of the week. So please help us so that I won't be whining and crying and saying, please, please. You know, you're either going to help us or you're not. And I'm going to trust the Lord because the Lord is good and He's always provided. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.